Brother Decker asked me to bring a psalm this evening. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sometimes when Brother Decker asks you to bring a psalm, it's hard to come up with which one you want to talk about. And this is probably the most famous of all psalms. And it came to my mind immediately when he asked me that. And last week, on I think it was Friday, I got a message that Brother Doug Bates was really low. Didn't think he was going to make it. So I got in my truck, and it was late in the evening, and started driving down 146. And I was just praying the whole way. I said, "Lord, give me some words to encourage this brother." I'd been visiting him quite a bit. A couple weeks before that, I talked to him about the Lord and just asked him if he was saved. I just asked him point blank, "Are you saved?" He's like, "Well, what does that mean?" So I went through the whole thing with him. "Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've done that. I told him, said, "Yeah, you have to confess your sins to Christ." "Yeah," he said, "I've done that. Thank the Lord." I said, "But we're not Catholic. We got to turn from our sins too." We're not just going to keep coming back and asking again and again and again. We got more than that, right? We want deliverance. I don't want to go back to a priest every week and ask forgiveness for the same thing. I wanted more than that. And I told him that. I said, "Have you turned from these things?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, praise God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, confess and forsake your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, and you are a child of God." And he was just beaming. I mean beaming. It was glorious. Glorious time. Well, as I said, Friday I was driving down there, and I knew he was back in the hospital, very low. And I think Sister McKenzie said she didn't think he was going to make it through the night. So I was driving down, I was praying what to say. It's hard, those are hard places, you know. I think this might be my last chance to talk to somebody. What are you going to say? And this psalm came to my mind just as clear as day. I went in there and I knelt down beside him. And I read him this psalm. I said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is personal. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else. If I know that the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. This world wants to glorify things. They want to glorify places. They want to glorify people. If the Lord is your shepherd, that's all you need. I shall not want. I'll say, we just had this revival. And that's a testimony to that very first part of that. The Lord knew what we needed, right? Sometimes we get worried about things and circumstances. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? What's going to happen? All this worry that anybody else worry like me, right? I shall not want. The Lord brought a revival to the church. You know, we come out of camp meeting and revival, we say, that was the best camp meeting we ever had. And that tends to be hyperbole, you know what I mean? It's like we say it so much, it seems like, we say that every time. But, I mean, I can honestly say for me, personally, it was one of the best revivals I've ever been in. And I felt like it was just God speaking to us. He used Brother Borders in a miraculous way to bring us exactly what we needed for this hour. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knows what I need. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I was looking at that and I thought, he maketh. I mean, he didn't force me. So I looked up that word. It's a Hebrew word. Is shava. And it means that he levels things, compels us, makes a nice plain, reckons with us, shows the profitability of the situation. That's what he's doing. He maketh that way very attractive. He maketh me to lie down on a whole bunch of rocks. That's not what he did. In green pastures. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, we're talking about the shepherd. The good shepherd. He didn't just lead us into some field full of thistles and thorns. Green pastures. If anybody's ever done any farming, it's a chore. Green pastures is a chore. Weeds are prevalent. Those multifloral rose bushes, you can't hardly keep them things out. It's hard to find a good place to pasture your livestock. But the Lord, he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I was thinking about that, meditating on that this afternoon. I thought, still waters, I mean, that's deep water. You know what I mean? Still waters, you know, if you go down to we got a creek behind our house, and it's like ripply, ripply, ripply everywhere, you know. Some places really, really, lots of rapids. And then in some places, it's just smooth. You know, that's deep water, right? Because it's still, it's calm. He said, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That quiet place, right? That quiet place. The scripture, I've referred to this several times the last couple weeks. Brother Borders mentioned revival, and it's worth repeating. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verse 11, it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. That's the important part there. The Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Still small voice. The still waters brings us to a green pasture, right? That's what the church of God is. It's a green pasture where you can get the nutrients that you need to be successful and to grow. And he leads you beside those still waters so you can hear what he has to say. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, thank God for the day he led me beside the still waters. And I could hear him speaking to me, telling me you need to change your ways. That's what he told me. This world today is so full of distractions, like that text I just read, you know, earthquakes, wind, and noise and fire and all this stuff going on, everything trying to distract you from the Lord passing by. That's what it is. It's just trying to distract you. But that still small voice. I say it's important to be in church. You know, we need to get in this, in these green pastures where we can be fed what we need to be fed, and we can hear that those still waters, we can hear that still small voice speaking to us. That quiet place, that quiet place. He restoreth my soul. That's the result of the green pasture and the listening to that still small voice. What does he do? He restores the soul. I thank God for the day he restored me back to his church. I praise God. I thank God. He is full of mercy and love. He wants everybody to make it. Praise God for a place of restoration. Thankful. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Thank God we can drink from those waters that we shall never thirst again. I say praise God. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I was talking to my brother, and I told him we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. That's a fearful place. And it was not the place of death, it's the shadow of death. It's the thinking about all this, not just moving on to the next phase in eternity, but even in our lives. You know, we're talking, this is the Good Shepherd talking here. We, you know, sometimes we have to go through valleys, and even the shadow of those valleys is fearful. We have many in our congregation that are going through cancer. Very serious afflictions, very hard, hard places. And it can be, just being real, be fearful. It can be fearful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That sounds like a bold statement, doesn't it? Sounds like a bold statement. And how is that even possible? How can that even be possible? Well, he tells us. The next part of this says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's an important part. The rod and the staff. It's meditating on those two things. That rod, you know, we see, it said he had the rod and the staff. There's two different things there. Okay, it wasn't just one thing. He had two different things. He had a rod and a staff. It wasn't the same thing. Two different purposes. He used that rod, was used to beat back the enemy. Beat things back. Beat out a way. Clear a path. It was more like a weapon. We think of David with the lion and the bear, right? He had his rod. He beat him back with it, right? That rod is the word of God. It's the word of God. We use the word of God to beat back danger, to clear the path that we need to walk. The word, we think, how are we gonna get from here to there? How am I gonna get there? How am I gonna make it? The Word of God. The Word of God. It'll tell us how to get there. It'll help us avoid the pitfalls. It'll help us beat back the enemy. This is our sword, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This is our weapon. It's our weapon. That's how we battle. That's how we get through. You ever walk through a real bad thicket? You ever try and walk through a real briar patch? You know, you're picking blackberries or whatever, and it's just thorny. It's pretty nice to have a rod. You can beat back the briars and clear a path. Because if you try and just raise your arms up and walk through there, what happens? It just tears you up, doesn't it? Oh, you're whining and crying 3 steps into the whole thing because you got thorns sticking everywhere. You can't even move. Well, when we try and do things on our own in this Christian walk, that's exactly what happens. We get all tangled up in thorns and briars, and next thing you know, we're whining and crying about how painful this is, where if we'd have just used the rod, beat out a nice path where God wants you to go, you could avoid all that, right? The rod's the Word of God. Thy rod and thy staff. So what's the staff? So we know the staff is more what you think of when you think of a shepherd. It comes up and it's got a hook on it. You ever seen those? The shepherd hook? Well, that's the Spirit of God. The good shepherd, we like to think that sheep are just going to follow all the time. And for the most part, they do. If you got a good shepherd, they'll follow. But we know from the scripture that one went out and away, right? That one of them left the 99 to go find the one. Well, that one wasn't following very good. So what's he do? He goes and hunts him down. Takes that staff and takes that hook and hooks into him a little bit. Come on this way. Come on this way. Pull him over out of the briar patch that he got himself into, right? He might use you, just, you might be leading across. That might have to go through some waters. He might just lead him here. Come over this way. It's too deep over there. Come over here where you can cross easily. Leads you along. You might be heading towards the cliff. He might take that staff out and pull you back a little bit. You hear him? You hear him? That's still small voice, right? That staff, the Spirit of God talking to you from within. Step back. Step back from that ledge. It's dangerous, rocky ground down there. Stay back. And then when you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, when there's steep mountains and boulders on all sides, it looks like they're going to fall in on you. You ever been through a place like that? Just looks like it's going to come in on you. Trees barely hang. It looks like they're going to fall. And that shepherd, he just takes his staff and leads the sheep right through those dark, dark places. Guides you along the path. He might have to stop and take a step back. Come over this way a little bit. He uses our pastor to do that a lot. Sometimes you might not like what the pastor says, but there might be a cliff over here that you can't see. And the Lord's telling him, bring a message that's going to lead him away from that. The Spirit of God works through the pastor too. He is divinely ordered under shepherds to help guide the flock. That's a beautiful, beautifully ordained system that God has set up. It's wonderful. We have the benefit of a lot of help. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that the Spirit of God can speak to me and he can use the man of God to bring a message that makes it a little easier to hear. I already told you, sometimes those waves get like rapids. You ever been down there, the New River Gorge, and the just raging river? You can't hear anything. You get close to those rapids, it's just like in your ear. And when you finally get away from that, you're like, whew, man, I can finally hear again. That's what the Word of God does. The pastor will bring a message to quiet down this world that's around us, that is raging against us. so that we can hear what God wants us to hear. So important to be able to hear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now we're still talking about a shepherd here. I'm gonna move quick. They have the best place for sheep is on a plateau, elevated mountain. You ever seen those? It's a mountain that's flat on the top. Super high elevation, flat pasture up on the top. Green, lush, elevated, easily watered. A lot of moisture in the high elevations. That's that table he prepares for us. Right in the midst of our enemies. The church of God is an elevated place to feed, okay? It's an elevated, we're not eating off the floor. There's been a table prepared, an elevated place for the sheep of his fold to feed. And the beautiful part about being on an elevated place is the shepherd can see where the enemy is coming up around the edge. He can see it. He's in a position of defense where he can beat him back. It's harder to push somebody up than to beat them down. That's for certain. If you got an enemy coming up at you, smack him back down. Now he tumbles down the mountain. There he goes. Here comes another one over here. Oh, yep, I see him. Whack, hit him with the rod. Down he tumbles. That's the Lord. He's just beating him back for us. We're up here. We're just feeding up here. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, it's a feasting place. It's a wonderful place to eat. To feed on the word of God. Elevated place. It's a highway. Our pastor preached on that Sunday, the highway of holiness. And I had all this stuff going through my head when he was preaching that, and he talking about being in that dry place. He set up a highway of holiness. I was meditating on that early this week, and I thought, boy, I remember we drove out to California last year. We drove through the Mojave Desert. It is hot. My poor truck, it said 45 mile an hour is all you can go, or this thing's gonna overheat and burn up. We can hardly go. And he was preaching that message about in that dry and thirsty land, there was a highway set up. I thought, how much work did it take to build that highway out through that Mojave Desert? Can you imagine how hard that was? How'd you like to be a worker on that job? Out there shoveling, plowing, digging, flattening in the middle of a desert. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He set us up a highway of holiness, an elevated place where we can feed and we can live and we can dwell. Isn't that beautiful? He said, thou anointest my head with oil. You can look over in Luke, and there's different places where when you have a feast, they would pour oil, scented oil, beautifully scented oil, on the most important guest. They would take that oil and pour it on the head of the most important people to come in for the feast. That's beautiful. When you think about that, think about that scripture. He anointeth, doesn't say their head with oil. He said, he anointeth my head with oil. What does he think about you? What does he think about you? You are his bride. Oh, he thinks highly of you. We are the bride of Christ. He's gonna put some sweet smelling oil on you. You are an honored guest at this table. There's so much you can study here. My cup runneth over. Mine kind of is right now. When you think about what God is able to do, what he is doing for us. And that verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. surely goodness and mercy. Think about that. Anybody enjoyed the goodness of God? Raise your hand if you've enjoyed the goodness of God. How about, are anybody thankful for the mercy of God? Oh, come on, amen. Oh, come on, louder, amen. Yes, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. All the days of my life. And that life doesn't stop when they put me in the ground. I am going to live forever. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. I think of the examples of ones that have been raised from the dead. And certainly when we're saved, we're raised from the dead. And I think of Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, the widow's son. They all were raised from the dead. It's miraculous. But they all had to die again. Every one of them died again. But when you are resurrected from death unto life as a Christian, you are never going to die again. You're going to live forever. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, thank God. When a saint passes on, he didn't die. Just laid down this restricted flesh. They're going to go on and live forever. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I'm not going to say it's not scary to think about laying this flesh down. But because we're human. But in proper perspective, we're going to live forever. Isn't that beautiful? Thank God we can live forever. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're going to put the mic down and give you a few minutes to testify of how thankful you are for what God has done for you. How thankful you are for his goodness. How thankful you are for his mercy. How thankful you are that even in the midst of these valleys, he is helping you to get through it. Thank the Lord for the word and the spirit, the rod and the staff that shall guide us all the days of our life.